It's a text that appears remarkably similarly in all four Gospels, or in all three of the four Gospels, not in John. This lectionary text in Mark for this week, which challenges us to reorient how we experience God in our lives. We come from many different places in this congregation, in our backgrounds and in our histories, in our resources, in our passions and our challenges, and we come into this rich diversity, and that's challenging for us to hear a passage like this, because some of us are very, very comfortable in our financial resources, and others of us are living on the edge. It can take, as we know and have heard in our prayers from week to week here, can take only a moment for life to move us from one category to the next. And we definitely see that in our world around us. This is a text that challenges our individual relationships with Jesus one-on-one, close up. And it's easy to jump over that first part of the message that Jesus brings to this young man and to just focus on follow me with however that works for you kind of aspect. I realized that in looking at this text again, that I tended to ignore the other parts of the story, that part about selling all that I have and giving to the poor. I don't really like that part of the story because it doesn't seem very practical in today's world when we all need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves, building our own senses of security, wearing our bubble, as Andrew would tell you. Isn't that what we hear in the political realm of these days? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? That seems to be the echo that comes again and again to me. So it's a challenging and a discomforting text as it reminds me about how much I really have when others, some in this community, have so much less. I am one of those rich that Jesus is talking about here. All of us who live in the United States, no matter what our income levels are compared to most of the rest of this world. Most of us live daily in great privilege and wealth and take too little time to count those blessings. But Jesus challenges us in this text to look at that, to look at it where our spirits and energies are oriented. And yes, this is one of Jesus' texts about money, even though it isn't stewardship season yet. Money and how we view and use it is an important aspect of our spiritual lives. 1/6 of Jesus' words have to do with money. The only subject that he talks more about in Scripture and to his disciples was the kingdom of God, and here he combines the two of them together. What I hope that we can do in these few minutes together, however, is to look below the surface to begin to understand why Jesus would challenge this young man in such a way and so come to a point of understanding and challenge for our own lives today, a message of hope and new life. First, we must recognize that this is a young man who was seeking to be faithful to Jesus. He sincerely wants to know what it takes to inherit eternal life, and he seeks to follow that goal. The initial part of the explanation is reassuring to him because he is living a moral life, keeping the commandments faithfully. He's a good guy. He's doing the right things. And most of us around here behave pretty well most of the time. You're here. You're supposed to laugh there. You are here today, and I am here today, because we're on that quest to seeking something beyond the day-to-day, to be inspired to be more faithful, to catch that spirit that enables that to be a possibility. Jesus challenges this young man to go deeper. Jesus looks at the young man we read in Scripture and loved him. And he says, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." It's an interesting turn of words, isn't it? Jesus loved the young man. Jesus did not look at the young man and say, "You need to give it all up now." Jesus loved the young man. He says, "You lack one thing." Not you haven't done everything you should have, or there's only one thing left to do, but you lack one thing. Something is missing from this young man's life. Jesus loves this young man, and he wants him to have everything in life. So secondly, Jesus says, sell what you have. It's been interesting to me to see that the commentators on this text, particularly in the United States, it's not so with some of the international folks that comment on this, have gone to great pains to try to reconcile this command with the sense of self-responsibility that we encourage in our culture. Take care of yourselves, plan for the future, be prepared for whatever may come your way. What is your five-year plan for your ministry and the ministry of this congregation? Sell what you have doesn't really fit well into that equation. It's not very practical. Surely there must be some other way to understand this part of the text. But Jesus' command is linked to the first part of this dialogue. You lack one thing. Go sell what you have. Go do what seems totally illogical sometimes. Church is a great way to practice that way of living because the opportunities to give beyond our usual are always before us. Did you count how many there were in this morning's announcements? Week by week. I remember when I first came to serve this church about 10 years ago that I after listening to the announcement section once, I decided this wasn't Providence Presbyterian Church anymore. It was the Church of the Eternal sign-up list. There's always something to reach out of our comfort zone to join. And two more were announced this morning to help with the Fall Festival and to reach out and lend a hand to our Camp Streets food pantry. A couple of hours in your week, an opportunity to maybe step into something new that you've never tried to do. All of us here lead very busy lives. Yet on a beautiful day yesterday, 20 plus of us came out yesterday to the church work day. It's interesting to me that Friday was kind of gray and dismal, and today is kind of more gray and dismal. I grew up with that in Washington State, so it doesn't really bother me, but yesterday was spectacularly beautiful. And 20 of us came out for that work day and to paint Barbara's house, and there was great spirits, great donuts and bagels, even enough to share at coffee hour today. See, loaves and fishes happening here. Clean refrigerators, rejuvenated yard, and new paint on our doors, and a whole house painted. By the end of the day, those of us at Barbara's were all fully supplied with something we didn't really expect to have happen at the end of the day. And you hear, oh, go back one more, Jay. This is the moment. This is the moment that Barbara came out at the out on her front porch and said, "You guys need look like you need a joke." And we had the most fun reliving seventh grade bad jokes that we have ever had. First joke that started it off was two sandwiches walk into a bar. And one of them says to the bartender, "Can you give us a drink?" And the bartender says, "Nope, we don't serve food here." But my personal favorite, what did the grasshopper say when it hit the windshield? "I'd do it again, but I don't have the guts." You missed it. You missed it. Jesus reminds the young man that all that he has is subject to following Christ, and it can be great fun. And that we must look to the whole of our lives, our attention, our priorities, and our resources as we seek to follow Christ. Time is money, to be sure. And it's a gift in this church which has enabled it to do amazing things over the years with very few dollars. It's an amazing thing that levels the playing field for those who have much and those who have but time. But money is important too, and it's an area for our growth in this congregation. We'll be hearing more of that in the weeks ahead, I promise, not every week ahead. But for example, I was very interested to learn, and you might be too, in our session analysis of our financial health in these days, that three of our households in this congregation, of the nearly 114 givers, which is huge, because we only have 90 households that are members of this congregation, but we've had 114 households giving this year. That is huge. But three of those households have given almost one-third of the dollars that have come into this church in this year so far. $47,000 from three households. Unless you tell me, and I'm not telling you you have to, I don't know what you give. And only you can answer the question if you are growing in this aspect of your spiritual life. This is a text of Scripture which challenges us to look at that aspect of our lives. Something is standing in the way of the fullness of life for this man that Jesus intends for all of his people, and it has to do with his money. There is an implication that what this man has gets in the way of what he can be and the fullness of life that he can enjoy. Remember those seventh grade jokes that you could have had too. When I was in seminary, one of the experiences I had in ministry was to work the overnight shift as a counselor on the suicide prevention phone lines in San Francisco. I was surprised to learn in my training for that work that San Francisco has one of the highest suicide rates in the country, in part because of the lure of the Golden Gate Bridge, but more because of the beauty of the surroundings and people who assume, if I can't be happy here, I can't be happy anywhere. Money is not all there is to life, as so many have found here in this community. There can be no question that this text challenges us to look at what is essential in our lives and where our energy goes in living. But the young man in Scripture couldn't do it. We read that he went away sorrowful. Sorrowful, a very interesting choice of words. Think of what you usually associate with sorrow. Maybe you're thinking as you listen to this message, I'm not going away sorry, I'm going away mad that she talked about it. Or maybe you're thinking, I'm going away guilty. But that's not the word and the implication that Jesus is bringing here. Mark says he went away sorrowful, not guilty that he wasn't doing more to help the poor, as so often we feel when we're challenged by this text. Sorrow, in grief because he was missing something. He lacked something. The young man cannot make that up for himself. Even with his many possessions, that thing which he lacks, he knows that he's missing the fullness of life that God intends for him. As we read on into this text, and I'm not going to spend much time here this morning, the disciples were really perplexed to hear this message from Jesus as he taught on this theme, because in those times, wealth was a sign of God's favor. But there's no way to escape Jesus' words in this text. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. As we struggle to work with that, even as we wish we may have that problem to struggle with, we need to look at ourselves and see how we are living in the richness of life of God that God intends for us, a wealth that is not based in money. And there is good news in this, even in this text of challenge. As we seek to unravel this reality, to live it out in a culture which glorifies money and self-sufficiency, we can hear Jesus' words anew. Follow me, Jesus says, and we will find the way together. Learn from those who are in the pews around you, and they will help you find the way together. It won't be a life free of hardship. Jesus says that there will be times of persecution, but following wherever God leads us will enable us to rely upon God to help sort it all out. Jesus invites us in this text to remember that it isn't the things of the world, but in the following of Christ, the dependence upon God, that we find true life and meaning. With people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Those opportunities, my friends, abound for each one of us, and there's good news for us there. We have this good news in our gospel, daily opportunities to follow more closely as we grow in faith, learn together what it means to follow and worship God, and recognize that power in our lives to serve others in the manner of Christ. May it be so in these weeks and in the weeks to come, as we wrestle with this challenging command of Jesus our Lord, and as we claim the life that God intends for each one of us. For with God, all things are possible. Amen.